Luke chapter 23, verses 32 through 43. This is reading of God's word. Two others also who were criminals were being led away to be put to death with him. When they came to the place called the Skull, there they crucified him and the criminals, one on the right and the other on the left. But Jesus was saying, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." And they cast lots, dividing up his garments among themselves. And the people stood by, looking on, and even the rulers were sneering at him, saying, "He saved others, let him save himself, if this is the Christ of God, his chosen one." The soldiers also mocked him, coming up to him, offering him sour wine, and saying, "If you are the king of the Jews, save yourself." Now there was also an inscription above him, "This is the king of the Jews." One of the criminals who were hanged there was hurling abuse at him, saying, "Are you not the Christ? Save yourself and us." But the other answered and rebuking him said, "Do you not even fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation? And we indeed are suffering justly, for we are receiving what we deserve for our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong." And he was saying, "Jesus, remember me when you come in your kingdom." And he said to him, "Truly I say to you, today you shall be with me in paradise." Amen. Please be seated. Let us pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this precious time of hearing of your word. Oh, grant us an ear to hear your voice through your word, the beautiful stories of our Lord Jesus Christ, what he has done and accomplished for us, thus who we are even now in Christ. Oh, Father, as we hear your word, that we will realize and believe how much you love us and how we ought to love you with everything we have. Bless us, God, and receive all the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, last Lord's Day, we have looked at the first saying of our Lord Jesus Christ on the cross, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." Jesus spoke of the forgiveness of sins of his people. On the cross, Jesus is paying for his people's sin, our sins. He is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And during the Last Supper in Matthew 26, verse 28, as he gives the cup to the disciples to drink, he says, "This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for forgiveness of sins." Your sins have been forgiven by God in Jesus Christ. And God will not even remember them anymore. And as you participate in the Lord's Supper today, even though physically you're not able to come, see how your sins have been completely and perfectly cleansed and forgiven by God. Jesus died for your sins, and the elements will clearly show that to us. The bread and the cup clearly show how Jesus' body is torn and his blood is shed for you. Now Jesus invites you and me to his table. He invites you to the heavenly banquet to have sweet heavenly fellowship with him. Today, we are looking at the second saying, Luke chapter 23, verse 43. Truly I say to you, today you shall be with me in paradise. He bears our sins and dies on the cross. And according to our passage today, he is being crucified with, verse 33, two criminals. One on the right side and the other on the left side of himself. Isaiah 53 verse 12b is being fulfilled, because he poured out himself to death and was numbered with transgressors, yet he himself bore the sin of many and interceded for the transgressors. Jesus is counted as a transgressor, a criminal. But you and I know that he has no sin. He never sinned. Even the one of the two criminals, the repentant criminal, knows this. Verse 41b. But this man has done nothing wrong. But as you could see from our passage, the sinners, they are in total darkness. Verse 35, he saved others. Let him save himself if this is the Christ of God, his chosen one. Verse 37, if you are the King of Jews, save yourself. Verse 39, are you not the Christ? Save yourself and us. They do not know what they're saying. And in so, they mock God. They sneer at God. They belong to this world, and only salvation that they know is of the world. They will never understand what Jesus is doing. Because for them, salvation is all about this world. Success in this world. Success without suffering. The world will never understand. If Jesus is the Christ, why is he suffering? If he is the King, why is he suffering? Why death? This reminds us of the Satan's three temptations to Jesus. They were all about the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the boastful pride of life. Point is, why suffer? Satan showed Jesus all the kingdoms of the world and said, I will give you all this domain and its glory if you worship me. If you worship before me, it shall all be yours. Do you hear what Satan is saying? Why suffer? You just bow down to me and I will give you the world. I will give you the kingdom without suffering. But see, Jesus did not come to accomplish this kind of salvation that the world is speaking. The salvation that Jesus accomplished is the salvation of heaven the eternal life in heaven. It is salvation from this world, from sin, from Satan, and deliver unto God, unto eternal life in heaven. The rulers, the soldiers, the unrepentant criminal, according to Matthew, the chief priests, along with the scribes and elders, to them, this world is everything. They cannot see heaven. They cannot see that Jesus is dying for his people's sin. But we see the grace of God in our passage. Do you remember the prayer of our Lord? Father, forgive them. That prayer is being answered. One of the two criminals repents. Even he has mocked Jesus in the beginning, according to Matthew 27, verse 44. The robbers who had been crucified with him were also insulting him with the same words. So in the beginning, even this criminal was insulting God, but grace of God is being poured on this person, and he soon repents. He admits his guilt. Verse 41a, and we indeed are suffering justly, he says, for we are receiving what we deserve for our debts. Do you see it? This criminal is repenting. He admits that he is a sinner, and the punishment that he is receiving, he deserves it, he says. And this repentant criminal, because of God's grace, not only he admits his sin and repents, but he knows that Jesus is the innocent one. Verse 41b, but this man has done nothing wrong, he says. Then verse 42, he says to Jesus, Jesus, remember me when you come in your kingdom. Jesus, remember me, he says. Romans 10, verse 13, whoever will call on the name of the Lord will be saved. Yes, there are many aspects of the Bible that is hard to understand, but this is very simple. You call upon the name of Jesus Christ. You believe what he has done for you, you're saved. Because no one who is not saved will be able to say that genuinely. Romans chapter 10 verse 14a says, how then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? If they don't believe him, why would they call on him? So if you call on him, call on his name, it shows that you have been saved. The repentant criminal believes and calls upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he says, remember me. Because in the Bible, if God forgets you, that's eternal judgment. God not remembering you is what hell is all about. Psalm 88 verse 5, forsaken among the dead, like the slain who lie in the grave, whom you remember no more, and they are cut off from your hand. So you understand what this criminal is saying to Jesus. Remember me. Yes, God remembers you. And He calls you by your name. The criminal also believes that Jesus is the king. He says, remember me when you come in your kingdom. Do you see in what he says, we are able to conclude this person has received God's grace. He's saved. He received the salvation of heaven. He understands so much. But he just started to believe. God's grace changes a sinner to completely a new creation. It's not even your old self improving to a better person. That is not what salvation is. Salvation is that it's complete new creation. Your old self is dead. And that is exactly what we see. Even during the time of this criminal on his cross, next to Jesus, that short period of time, this person is recreated as a new creation in the image of Jesus Christ. I pray that you see that. The grace of God. The amazing grace of God. And repentant criminal. And this is an important point, so pay attention here. He understands what kind of salvation that Jesus is accomplishing. Jesus, remember me when you come in your kingdom. If you are dying next to Christ, like this criminal, what would you say to Jesus? See, this criminal is not asking Jesus to save him from the dire situation that he is facing in this world right there. Why not say, Lord, I believe, but take me down from this cross, save me. He doesn't do that. He doesn't say things like, I'm so poor, give me money. Do you understand? What is he saying to Jesus? Remember me when you get to heaven. Do you see him asking Jesus to help him come down from that cross so that he doesn't have to face this death in this world? He is willing to die. He understands what our salvation is about. This request, remember me, Lord, when we get to heaven, when you get to heaven, even if his request is granted, he will still die on the cross. Even if all of his prayer is answered, he will still die on the cross. Do you understand what is going on? What he is truly asking of Jesus. His focus is no longer this world. His focus is completely in heaven now. Do you see it? I don't know. I get excited. People who are being saved, this is what happens to them. What happens in this life, in this world, even if he dies you know, a couple hours later, it doesn't matter to him. All he cares, Lord, remember me when you get to heaven. In other words, I want to go with you. I want to be where you are going to be. Do you see this? His focus is not on meeting his needs in the world. He knows that this world is not everything. He knows that there is another world. He knows about the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ. He knows about the sweet, joyous, eternal life with our Lord Jesus Christ in heaven. This is what happens when you're saved. Your focus is now on Jesus and his kingdom. Colossians 1:13, for he rescued us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son. Do you see the grace of God? He was a criminal right up until the moment of his death. Salvation is of God's grace, not of our works. When it comes to works, this criminal did not do anything. Up until his death, right before his death, he was criminal. He did sin all the way through, all his life. Salvation is not by works, but he is still saved by the grace of God. There's no sin that you have committed that God cannot forgive. Even sin of not believing him. Because you and I, there were one time who did not believe. Even that sin is forgiven. This is the gospel. Believe. Then you will be saved. Jesus says, truly I say to you, today you shall be with me in paradise. Yeah, I don't want to get into this much, but here it says today. He was dying on the cross Friday, and he was resurrected Sunday. But he says, today I'm going to be with you in paradise, in heaven. So this teaching of, you know, Jesus went to hell, that's not what we believe. Jesus received all the hellish punishment on the cross. But he didn't go to hell himself. Today, you will be with me in paradise. Not, well, you go paradise today, but I'll get there 3 days later. I got things to do. No, he doesn't say that. Today. Salvation of heaven is given to the repentant criminal. Jesus says this to him because Jesus is carrying his sins and Jesus is paying for his sins and Jesus has lived the perfect life for him. That is why he says, today you shall be with me in paradise. Not because criminal did something that deserves heaven. Not that in him there was something that God looks at and be pleased. No, Jesus is able to say this and Jesus says this to that criminal because Jesus is carrying his sin, he's dying for his sin, he's paying the penalty of his sin, and he lived a righteous life for him. That is why he says this to him. And that is why he says this to you. Jesus Christ will resurrect from the dead and ascend into heaven 40 days after and live with his people there forever and ever. You shall be with me. Oh. This is what heaven is all about. Being with God forever. Yeah, some people in the world, they say they like heaven because they think heaven in terms of this world, and oh, heaven is like so much gold and diamonds and whatever they say why they love heaven, but that is not why we love heaven. Do you really think we even look at those gold or whatever jewels that we might find when we see the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ? Heaven is heaven to you and to me because Jesus is there. That we will be with Jesus forever. You shall be with me. Is there anything more joyful sound that could come into your ear? When God says, I will be with you. This is what heaven is all about. Being with Jesus Christ, 1 Thessalonians, then we who are alive and remain will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so we shall always be with the Lord. God is with his people, Emmanuel God. God with us. And this is what salvation is all about. What kind of sinners were we? We were just like the unrepentant criminal. Even up until the moment of his death, even as he dies, he insults God and mocks God. Only thing that is left for him is death, and then eternal death. But we were just like him. But God had mercy upon you and upon me. He came to save you. He came to save me from eternal death in hell. He visited us. And he remains with us. And he is with us. He came to suffer for us. God's own humiliation because of us. He was born into this world among animals, and now he dies among criminals. This is how his life is about. He, very beginning, he was born among animals. And now he finishes his earthly life among criminals. What do you expect that your Christian life will be? If Christian life is imitation of our Lord's life, what do you expect? Yeah. Somehow, by the end of my life, end of your life, everybody will leave us, will be quite alone, and even in death, we will imitate Christ if we are really blessed. That is what our life is all about. to be like Christ. And as you try harder and harder to be like Christ, you will see the world and everyone in it mocking you, insulting you, sneer at you. As you experience, and I know some of you already experienced this, as you experience that loneliness, be glad that even in that, you are imitating Jesus Christ. But like Jesus says, I'm not alone. The Father is with me. And when you feel that loneliness, that you give all the glory and honor and thanksgiving to God that you are able to imitate Christ, but as soon as you do that, you realize, I'm not alone. Jesus is with me. And quite frankly, that's absolutely enough for me. And for you. He lives a life of suffering and death for us, but he is resurrected and ascended into heaven. There he is waiting for us. He is preparing a place for us, and he will come again and receive us to himself. Well, he is, we will be also. The unrepentant criminal, he is going to meet God also, but only as the fearful judge. Everybody will meet God. Whether you believe or not, you will meet God. But you don't want to meet God as a fearful judge. You want to meet God as your Father. Then believe. Then you will meet loving Father, who is God. This unrepentant criminal will meet God one day. But the God he will meet is not loving to him. But for you and me, God welcomes with the open arms. Luke 22 verse 30 and 31. And just as my Father has granted me a kingdom, I grant you that you may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom. And you will sit on throne judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Being with God and sitting down with God and eating and drinking with God. This is our spiritual reality of the Lord's Supper. I want you to understand what is happening as you participate in the Lord's Supper. This is what is going on. God is with you, and you are with God, and we are sitting at his table, eating and drinking, fellowshipping with him. Today, God says, yes, today, right now, spiritually, we are already with our Lord in Jesus Christ in heaven. That reality is shown as we participate in the Lord's Supper. Jesus Christ, our Lord, invites you to his table to eat and drink with him. Your sins have been forgiven, and he dressed you with his own righteousness. When God says, today I will be with you, that is your reality right now, today. Yes, he is with you in paradise as we come together here to worship God. We are with him. The very words that he spoke to that criminal, the repentant criminal, that is your reality right now. And this is how God sees you. Zephaniah, chapter 3, verse 17. The Lord your God is in your midst, a victorious warrior. He will exult over you with joy. He will be quiet in his love. He will rejoice over you with shouts of joy. I'm not asking you to imagine. I'm just asking you to see the reality of heaven through your faith, through the Word. God welcomes you, and even as you come to Him, you know how happy He is? He rejoices over you with shouts of joy. He cannot contain himself. The joy that he has for you, he has to scream. He has to shout. That is what this shows. That is exactly what goes on here. Oh, brothers and sisters, you have to believe. Because if you don't see heaven, then this stupid world is all you see. Then you are the most miserable person. You have to see through the Word, by the faith that God gives you, look at what Christ has accomplished. God who has to judge you because of your sin, but He's not judging you or condemning you anymore. He welcomes you and He rejoices over you. And He says, I will be with you always. You will be with me in heaven always. Today and tomorrow and forevermore. You are with Jesus Christ today in paradise. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. It is just amazing grace, amazing love. Sometimes, I mean many times, we have to pinch ourselves just to realize it is true. But we realize and believe that it is true because you give us faith. You cause us to believe. And Father, by your grace, we believe and we rejoice. We rejoice with you. Oh Father, we thank you. What else can we say? Thank you, Father. Thank you, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.